In many places the Quran says it. In one place, for instance, he says, Al-akhillau yawma idhin, like very intimate friends in that day, ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqin, like they will be worse enemies of each other except the people who are pious. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people will come and regret, deeply regret, that they had this bad company. And the way Allah puts it in the Quran is this way. He says, the day, at that day, يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. You know when a person is in real in despair, you lose everything, you really regret things, you start biting your fingers. Some people eat their hands. Remember I had a teacher who used to do math. And if you really have a difficulty, stop doing the clonk, clonk, clonk. Yes. Some people have, because really, and they get, some people start sweating, and they tuck, 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 this comes. It happens all the time. Now, the worst part of it is start when you clean, yeah? People do really hard, bad. You see all these fingers eaten up. Actually, the Prophet, the Quran says, يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. Look at the description. يقول, he will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَصْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. I wish I had listened, I had been in the company of the Prophet. يَا وَيْلَتَى. يَا وَيْلَتَى in Arabic means wow unto me. Right? لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِسْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. I wish I had never known this person. Why? لَغَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ. Because he misguided me. It's the guy need to remember Allah. يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَصْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَى لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِسْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. I'm telling it to you now. From where? From the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah told us what to do. So the second thing is the company. The Prophet said it actually in another way. He says, الْمَرْءُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِ. يعني people who will drag you, look at who your company is. And make sure that this company is the company that make you chaste, remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep you away from this that we have. The third, right, to be modest, is actually to listen to people who really care for you. Remember yesterday what I said? Your mom first, then your dad, then people who really care for you. Now, I'm talking to you today, right? If you are good people, you'll protect my daughters, right or wrong? Like, say, for instance, if I live in a community, like I'm now in Kansas City, if all the people around me are good, I'll be safe and secure, right? Because they are not going to bother my children, whether the boys are not going to bother my girls, or the girls are not going to bother my boys. They are going to advise them properly. They are going to do things like that. I'll be safe. Now, and at the same time, I will also care for my coming generations, like people like you. When I came to this country, by the way, I was only 26 years old. Now I am 53 years old. And my own son is now closer to my age. He's 23 years when I came here. Now gradually he's going to get married, he's going to have a family, he's going to have children. I might die, soon, not long. Then now, if I have a chaste community, I will be resting, as they say, in peace, at least knowing that my grandchildren and grandchildren are going to be there. So this is where we have. So number one, we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the company and the Prophet, lead the parents and people who care for us. So even in the community, like the imam in the community, the teachers in the community, the people in the community, when they care for you, are very lucky, because some people don't even get people to care for them. And when a person becomes a carefree, whom do you think they hurt? They hurt themselves before anyone else. Now, number four, by the way, the more you are chaste, the more you become precious. Not on the contrary. Especially for girls, by the way. Yani, a girl who thinks she can be what do you words use? I don't want to use any word that I will be saying. My English is really limited because I think in Arabic, I try to translate my thoughts. Sometimes I look for a word that people say, what did you say? But I don't say, what do you mean? It's not the way that you say. But give me a word of a girl who thinks she can be among all the people, look good, nice, cool, da 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 da. Huh? Huh? Conceited. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Now, but look at it the other way. I'm serious. Look at it the other way. Now, when people look at you, they might really have fun and good time with you, but do you think they really ultimately want to live with you? Surely not. I mean, if you can do it with this, why not with this? And this is why, so they said the more you become precious, the more people will really look for you. They want to know who you are. Especially, by the way, in our experience, that boys like to have fun with girls normally, like talk to them and do all kinds of things. But when it comes to marriage, they want to be very private. Am I right or wrong? Very, very private. And I, by the way, I'm a marriage counselor. At times the boy comes to me and he sees him, but you know this girl? No, Ammu. I'm serious. They wanted people that really are away from the lights, away from people. And when it comes to marriage, people become very, very selfish. I'm serious. And this is why the more you become in that area of chastity, the more you become a focus of attraction of good people. Bad people might take you for a ride. Yesterday I said to this, people who make you laugh today, they will laugh at you tomorrow. Sometimes people make you pain, but these are the people who care for you really. And this is how sometimes we misunderstand our parents, right? Yeah, and when our parents are hard on us, it does not mean that they hate us. Exactly the opposite. They are looking for the good for us. The same thing in our life. Now, number five. Right? Number five. In this society where we live in, there is a lot of exposure to bad things. To the point that we became so used to bad things. You know, I was teaching in the school, we had to get this girl from Saudi Arabia. She's in kindergarten, 4 years of age. And we have an Arabic book. So in the Arabic book, the women were not in hijab. So she said, Ammu, Eid, Ammu, Eid. Little girl. Why? Because her nature is clean, pure. To her, even if she sees a picture in a book, a sketch, that is not Eid, Ammu, Eid. Now, but gradually, if she lives here and then she sees the TVs and the soap operas and all of these and so on, that feeling of just start dying out, right? And this is the danger of exposure to the TV, especially here. Yani, I remember we used to have children in the school. Then we didn't have high school at that time, so they went to the high school. And this boy came and came, you know what, Ammu? Everything you taught us haram is halal there. True. Sahih. Poor kids. I mean, everything, in the Islamic school, all the sisters are dressed in hijab, the brothers do this, we don't have anyone who smokes, we try to guard them, I talk about all of it. And these people went to the jungle now, high school, right? Where nobody cares. So sometimes the company, the place you are in and so on. Now, how do you maintain your chastity there is to be yourself. Remember Lion King, remember who you are. I'm serious. Remember who you are, right? This is the only cartoon I saw. My kids made it the most that I sit with them and I was praying, sitting 2 hours and a half to look at it. But the word that struck me is, remember who you are. You know, this word, by the way, is used by Allah in the Quran. Does anyone know where some people told some girl, remember who you are? Exactly. And it's exactly the same words, but this is what it meant. You know, when Maryam came with Jesus Christ, right? Isa alayhi salam. And people were surprised. I mean, a girl who didn't have a husband, she gave birth to a child, and now she came into the people. Does anyone remember what they said to her? Huh? Give you a hint. Ya ukhta Harun. Why did they say that? They said to her, Ya ukhta Harun. Ma kan abuki imra'asu. Wa ma kanat ummuki. You know what that means? Remember who you are. They told her, the sister of Aaron, Harun, your mother was not unchaste. So your father was not unchaste. Your father was very chaste. And your mother was not a bad woman. ما كانت أمك بغية. Which means, remember who you are. So all the time, remember who you are. Remember your father, remember your mother, remember that you are a Muslim, remember that people look at you, remember that. That will keep you all the time chaste. Right? You want me to stop here or you want me to continue? Fine. I saw the people down because I see his hand. Okay, go ahead. You really want to switch to that? Fine. Let me make a deal with you. 5 minutes for any questions or comments, I finished. I just gave you these 5 points to keep them in mind, inshallah. Now, but one last thing I should say, and I must say it because it's in my cards. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us so many prayers in the Quran, right? So many of them. Huh? Can somebody remember any one of them? Any prayer? No, not the prayer that, like, let me use the proper Arabic word. There are so many dua that Allah taught us in the Quran. Does anyone remember any one of them? رب اغفر لي ولوالدي مؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا اغفر لنا والإخوان الذين سبقونا بالإيمان all the prayer of what is his name إبراهيم عليه السلام وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام ربي إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس فمن تبعني فإنه مني ومن عصاني فإنك غفور رحيم ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. All of these prayers that Allah taught us. You know, one of the most important things to keep you chaste is to pray to Allah to make you chaste. And to pray sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people overlook the prayer. And the Prophet says, if you fall in anything wrong, don't lose hope. Just come back quickly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come back to quickly. Because sometimes we are weak, we are human beings. It happens. You don't intend it. Don't let go. Because what happens sometimes, people... See, when people make the first sin in their lives, we all did it. We are little kids. I'm pretty sure everyone goes wrong. If the first time you make a sin, it takes you so much, you feel the whole universe is looking at you. Right? The second time, becomes weak. The third time, you know what Allah says about this? Look at this beautiful verse. He says, this is in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرِ وَالْفُسُوقِ وَالْعِسْيَانِ. Look at these three words. He says, it is Allah who made the face very dear. Everyone, if people keep, you don't hold yourself back, you get used to rebellions, then you become openly defiant. Become fasiq, wicked. Then if people push you further, you say, I'm not even a Muslim. Right or wrong? Now, this is why when you make the dua, you start from this. And the Prophet advised this young man who came to him, he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, give me an advice. What did he say to him? He said to him, one, ittaqi Allah haythuma kunt. Wherever you are, remember that Allah is around. I want to do something wrong. What if Allah takes me right there? Right? Possible. You intend to do bad, Allah takes you. You intend to do bad, you walk, you get a car crash. Something happens, something frightening, something scary. It can happen. You get exposed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we say, fadiha, yafdahat. So the first thing he said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ. No matter where you are, all the time, remember that Allah is with you. Yeah, did you hear the story about this teacher in the city of Bukhari, Imam Bukhari? Familiar with it? What did he say? Now, actually, this is a school, and there is a teacher, and he has one student who was very smart. So students start to feel jealous about him. So the teacher said, this boy deserves my attention. He's very smart, very intelligent. So the teacher said, how, you know, why? Everybody was grudging. So the teacher said one day to them, they used to live in a dormitory and they cook their own food, they cut their own chicken. So he called all the children like you and he gave everyone his chicken. And he said, I want you to go and cut this chicken in a place where no one can see you. So somebody ran behind the ditch, another by the hall, somebody behind the tree. And all of them came with their chicken cut, except this boy. He came alive. So the students looked at him, they started laughing at him. So the teacher said, wow. She brought him out. He said to him, didn't I say go and kill your chicken? He said, yes. Why didn't you cut it? He said, because I didn't find any place where nobody can see me. I went behind the tree. I thought Allah is watching me. He cannot beg. He told me no, please. And everybody said, you know what happens? These people really didn't think about it. And everybody ran the tea, and finished with it. So the teacher said, do you know why I have regard for him? Because everywhere you go, that's it, Allah is watching over you. So the boy really was smart, because the teacher put a condition. Cut your chicken or go and slaughter it wherever no one can see you. He didn't say to him, no human being or no creation or something. No one. And the one who sees us all the time is who? Allah. He said, I went behind the mountain, Allah is there. I went behind the tree, I went to hide in a ditch, I went in a tube. Allah is always there. Besides, I didn't find a place where I couldn't slaughter it. This, some of the scholars say it happened in Bukhara. Bukhara is the city of Imam Bukhari. So, this is why he said to you, he said to him, one, by the way, this is how you built your chest. All the time, remember Allah. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ. Two, when you fall in a mistake, don't lose hope. He said to him, اتبعي السيئة الحسنة تمحوها. When you fall in a mistake, immediately think of wiping it out. You can make wudu, you can pray, you can ask Allah forgiveness, you can decide not to be in the company. All the time do something, and it becomes like a sweeper. Just like a sweeping machine. It erases it. You know what the third he said to him? Said to him, وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. And all the time don't be arrogant. Why? نعم. اتق الله حيثما كنت. Fear Allah wherever you are. اتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحوها. And all the time follow any bad deed by a good deed. It wipes it. Three, and he said to him, and be in good manners with people. Why? Because the Prophet, when he was speaking about shyness, he said, يعني, if people lose it, they lose everything. Right? And actually, in a beautiful hadith, he says, إِنَّمَا مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسِ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِ فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. Like, if a person does not feel shy from Allah, he does not watch, he can do anything. Now, what holds us from doing wrong is because of the fear of Allah, right? Anyone can do wrong. يعني, I used to tell my children all the time, when I was born back home, even if you want to do wrong, you don't know where to do it. Everybody knows you. Everybody is uncle, neighbor. There is no place. You don't have blockbusters. You don't have these things. We don't. You cannot just sleep in an internet cafe. There is nothing. Now, everything is open. Right? It is you who is going to restrain yourself and to build your will power. Just like what we do in Ramadan and so on. Is to say, I know this is there. This is why, by the way, when we fast. Like, you know what the essence of fasting, what fasting teaches us? I mean, there is a fridge, there is food, right? And the Prophet says the thing that Allah rewards direct for you is your fasting. Why? Because anyone can cheat about fasting. See, if you are living with a roommate, and all the time you go to school together, you do things, the person will know whether you pray or not, right? If you are praying, he will never. But if you are living with your roommate, and you cheat in fasting. I mean, the man goes into the washroom, you go and drink in the washroom. You sleep out, you do this, right? Because this is the way you build your real willpower. I see the food there, I don't touch it. I am hungry, yes, but I don't touch it. This is why you go out and see bad things, I don't want to see them. I don't want to be in them. I don't want to be involved in them. And that's how we build our chastity. And the final thing, I hope your parents don't kill me, is to think of getting married as soon as you can. Because that's where you have it. Right? And if your parents have a problem with that, let them talk to me. I'm serious. And this is why the Prophet said this, by the way. He says, if a time comes, you know before in the old days, and you can say this to your parents, pious people used to go out. Like if a person has a doctor, they're not trying to do this. How come you do that? It's not it. They will go to somebody who is good. They say, Wallahi, we know you are a good person. You have a good son. You have a dad. Why don't you marry him to our daughters? Today, if you go say, wow, this is cheap. You go say, no. Khadija radiallahu anha proposed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? She saw him as a man of honor, a man of dignity, a man of trustworthiness. She went to Zainab. She said to her, can you talk to him about me? Now, some people say even this is sometimes in some cultures it's a bit. A woman stood up in the masjid. By the way, in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah mentioned it. And before he tells What kind of a woman? Allah says, وَمْرَأَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ. Who said that? Allah. And if Allah says somebody is mu'min, that person is mu'min, right? If Allah says a woman is mu'min, Allah said, وَمْرَأَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ إِنْ وَهَبَتْ نَفْسَهَا لِلنَّبِيِّ. Like in front of everyone, she stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, how about me? Simple. And this is why we try to protect ourselves, protect our chastity, and do these things by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Now, I'm going to close it here. If you have questions, comments, and then we'll go to the other subject. We're going to stay here until tomorrow, I'm telling you. Okay? Any questions you have? You want to go for the exorcist? Did you see the exorcist? Naam. Marriage of after education? It depends. It depends. This is where me and my wife are really at odds. My son is now finishing university, right? My mother insisted. He loves his mom so much. Can't believe it. And I gave that license to my children. Like I tell my children, your mother has 3 rights, I have only 1. So if me and your mom come, you have to give 3 points to mom, give 1 to dad. Some interesting thing happened. One time we were driving over the highway, we were going to Florida. And I love to eat, what they call it? Power seats. So I do this, the car swerves, truck comes, woo! My son was sitting, his mom says, what? Take this from your father! The boy looks at me and says, Abby, mom is saying I take it. He told me I have to respect my mom. I said, yes, boy, take it. It's your mom. Now, we drove about 5 minutes, and I really wanted the thing back. I said, Hassan, I told you to love your mom and to respect her, and she has rights over me, yes. And she told you to take the thing from me, and you took it. He said, yes, and everybody was laughing. I said, who is the amir of your mom? He said, you. I said, tell her to bring it back. This is how children should really have that right. So, on the one hand, right, the parents, and she's very strong on this. Alhamdulillah, he finished university now. But she's very strong on it. Now, the reason, because of the culture. See, back home, we were in the same house. We were 5 boys, 3 girls. If you marry, where are you going to go? Under a tree? No place, right? And because of that, they say you finish your education, you get a job, you get it, because you need to have some place. Now here, it's not necessary to have that. I visited a brother, I'm not going to tell you who he is. And they have this big house. And they put me in actually a whole, what they call it, suite. Separate, everything, living room, and they walked around. And then the son of that man came to me and said, oh, my dad says I have to graduate and have a job and have a place and have to prepare myself. I said, your father preparing you for the grave. You have a place here, get married. Right? It depends. For some people, actually, and I have lots of people, when they are during the time of their education, especially at university, I'm not saying at high school, by the way, 100% I agree that up to finishing high school, people should not get married. People should not get married also when they are dependent on their parents and their parents can hardly pull them around. Right? But if the parents are able to do it or you get a scholarship, like I know a lot of people who are, like the boy has a scholarship, the girl has a scholarship, both of them are married. Last week I married a couple of this. The boy is at medical school at Kingston University in Queens. The girl now went, one of my students by the way, to McMaster University, right? Both of them have scholarships. We got them married. It depends. Some of the parents, either because of their means or because people are not. And also it has to do with maturity. Because in the Prophet ﷺ, and he speaks about when he says, "Man istata'a minkum al-ba'a." Ba'a means the ability, not only financial, but also the maturity. Many of the boys, and I don't want boys also, alhamdulillah, no, not too many of them here, they're not going to kill me. Normally here, girls mature earlier than boys. Both. Like, no, serious. I'm serious. Lala, just a minute. I'm telling you. You know they had, listen to this and quote me for it, and if you want me to send it, I'll send it to you, but it's in Arabic. BBC News has a section, if you go to the internet on BBC website, they have a section on Arabic on sciences. And this is a research that was done in Britain. They monitored about 14,000 babies from the time they were born until they reached the age of 14. And they wanted to see how early they mature. Okay? And I'm talking science now. And they said that out of every 8 girls, 6 of them mature at the age of 8. The boys start maturing at the age of 13, yeah. They said 100 years ago, only 1 girl out of 100 girls used to mature. And now they say because of the kind of food we have, the amount of hormones in the food, the obscenity that people see, the exposure and the vulgarness, all of this add to people, yeah. Now, that's number one. Listen, I'm serious. Number two, more than that. In our culture, especially people who come from the Middle East and people who come from Africa like myself and so on, we always trap the girls earlier, right? The minute the girl matures and she wears hijab, they become in an adult community. Boys are still kids. Lousy boys. I'm serious. Even my children, I always tell them this. There is a big difference. See, my eldest 2 sons, one of them is now 23, one of them is 18, right? And my girls, the oldest is 17, the second one is 13. And I see a big difference in terms of responsibility and handling things. It's a big thing. Yani, it's not only the physical, what we call, or biological maturity that we talked about, even... going to kill me. Now, la. I'm serious, but I'm telling you, listen to this very good. So what I said, it also has to do with the a person, how mature a person is. Because does anyone know what the essence of Islam and the husband and wife in Islam? Basically, up until today, because my daughters, I am the one who is taking care of them, I'm responsible for them, Islamically, we're not talking about anything. Islamically, I am their wali, like I'm their guardian, the person who is in front of them. Now, the day I get my daughter married to a man, and consent for that, I lose that right. Her husband becomes her amir, right? Now, do you know who marries in Islam? It's not the men, it's the women. Are you clear about this, or you want me to explain it? Now, listen to this very good. In our cultures, men think they get married. Your mom might have thought that your father married her. And your father, if you call him now, say, no, Abdullah is wrong. I married your mom. Wrong, man. Why? Fine. Listen to this. Have you seen people in a wedding ceremony? Some of you did. When they give the ijab and the qulbur, right? Now, ijab means offer to the marriage. Am I right? Who gives the ijab? The man or the woman? The woman. What does that mean? She's making an offer, right? If you don't make an offer, what to accept? The wind? Zero. Zero, right? Now, the man accepts. In our cultures, people always say, oh, مش أنا عندهم وقعد لمع البنت والبنت قبلت. مش يقبل البنت يقبل الولد. I'm serious. Simple. This is why in Islam, Allah gave the woman the right to choose her amir. And don't choose anyone who's lousy. This is my advice to you. Make sure when you choose an emir, you choose somebody in our language, say, يملعينك, يعني you really fill your eyes. This is the man I want to be. Sahih. Otherwise, you're doing justice to yourself. Am I right or wrong? Now, and this is where really the concept of amara in marriage comes. This is why when the Prophet ﷺ says, من أطاع أميري فقد أطاعني. يعني whoever obeys my Amir, he obeys me, right? And whoever obeys me has obeyed Allah. And Allah says, surprisingly, in chapter 4 in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 80, من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. Whoever obeys the messenger has surely obeyed Allah. Because the woman has that right. I mean, this is why if you choose, and this is what I tell my daughter, I hope Huda, next time, inshallah, I'll bring her with me. Last time I brought one of them actually to Santa Clara, but now they are in the Sudan. See, every trip I travel now, I take one of my children with me. All the time. Because I don't spend much time with them, so I compensate them by that. So everyone is lining up. My son is accumulating. I get these 3 tickets. So he says he wants to go to Australia. Alhamdulillah, I got him now. I'm taking him to Australia. He loves to go with me overseas. And he's playing games on his daughter and sisters. But last time, I think Hadir came with me. Huda is her turn, but now she's in Sudan. Otherwise, next time I break, ask her. She says to me, Abi tells me clearly, I am your wali now. The minute I consent, don't come to me and marry somebody I don't like. Not necessarily. I might not like him. Because Allah did not say I have to like him. Because I have reasons to have, but if I agree and consent to her, then I decline my amara to her husband. He becomes her amir. And many parents fall in this mistake. When their daughters get married, they think they still have authority of them. And this is where you have problems. But and this is why some people even make the mistake. So that's where you make your choice, you choose the person, you tell your parents that Jazakallah. I told my daughter, and I think this, by the way, your parents are going to hear this. I told her, if you, I consent. And by the way, no difference between agreement and consent. Can somebody tell me the difference? You people speak English. I'm trying to find out things here. Now, when you agree to something, it means you like it. This is why you agree to it, right? When you consent to something, you might not like it, but... Am I right? Consent means what? Give in. Fine. What is required in Islam from parents is consent, not necessarily agreement. Yani my daughter might come with somebody and say, well, you know, I don't like this guy, but I can't say no. I have no reason to say no. That's consent. She goes in. The minute I consent, I am willfully declining my right now as a wali. I cannot go and tell the man what to do. He's the Amir now. And my daughter cannot go and tell the man, you know nothing, I'm going to talk to my parents and my father. That's not right. You understand that? You really have to understand this clearly. Now, if this happens, then we come to the boys and say, boys, major up. Really. Be up to that level where really you become the choice of the girls that you want to marry. Right? Fine. Any more questions? Did I answer the question? Good. Fine. Huh? Go ahead. The other. What? How much time we have? Fine. This is a change of a subject. I know when I was coming here, I was told we had this discussion with Muhammad Sharif, right? Can somebody tell me what he said so that I take it from there? Leave it to me. Fine. Now, let me make it easier for you to understand what I say. Did you ever have a dream? Anyone who had a dream, can you put your hands up? Any dream? Good. Put your hands down. Dreams are a mystery, right? Up until now, like people who are called psychiatrists, you know what psychiatrist is? Psychoanalysts. Spiritual psychologist. Oh, I read a lot, by the way. If I tell you the stuff I read, you'll not think I'm that chef, as they say. Actually, the book I'm reading right now, I wish I'd get it for you. Do I have a session with you? I just read you the last portion I was reading. You really be... It's a book that's talking about like civility and how humans are born again, mystery of the world, and so on. Fine. A human being... We are part of the creation. We are not all the creation. Right? All the other creation of Allah is like us. Birds have a language. We don't understand it. The fact that we don't understand the language, it does not mean that they don't have a language. Right? Does anyone of you speak Chinese? No. Korean? No. Russian? No. Do Russians speak? Surely they speak. They think? Surely they think. Now, I speak about how many? 3 dialects, 5 languages. Yes? If I say them, you won't. I come from a Nubian tribe. They call it the Nubians of the northern Sudan. Part of them are in Egypt, by the way. Kunuz, southern Egypt. They call them a Shemandora for people in Egypt. My brother, by the way, his family is right now visiting Alexandria. He's married from Alexandria. Now, isn't this good? Now, the language that I speak, they have absolutely nothing to do with Arabic. My mother doesn't speak Arabic, by the way. Especially when she gets angry. Now, when we want her really to fire her guns, we make her angry and say, and everybody's puzzled. Now, the language they speak, actually, I understand now, but I can't speak it. Many of the Arabic-speaking people, when they come here and live long and so on, you understand what your parents are, but it's difficult to make up the words. It's easier all the time to hear a spoken language because people build it. It's difficult to make it, right? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, among His creation also, there are 2 categories other than the humans, which are more or less have things from the humans. And these are the angels and the jinn. Right? Now the angels, as Allah says, are created from light. They are programmed to do good, programmed to be obedient to Allah, and they are the tools and soldiers that Allah uses. This is why they don't disobey Allah. Khalas? And these are creations that don't have bodies. They don't have a physical body like us. So this is why we don't see them. but they are around us. And right now, around each one of us, the Prophet said there are 8 angels. And Allah described them in the Quran by saying they are very generous. Do you read the Quran? Inna alaykum lahafidin. Huh? Kiraman katibin. Ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. So, in one of the hadith, the Prophet said these 8 angels. Allah described them as kiram. Kiram, very generous. Why? Because they say when you think of doing wrong, the angel who writes it will say, oh, I wish he doesn't do wrong. And he prays for you not to do it. If you go and do it, he will beg of Allah to give you a time to forget, to ask Allah to cleanse it. This is why the Prophet says, if you do wrong and you go straight and make wudu and make turakaz and so on, it wipes the sin. Right? The other angel who's doing good, the minute you think of doing it, he writes it. Oh, he thought of doing good. So Allah calls them kiram. They're very generous. Fine. I can spend a lot of time then to call it. Among these angels, there are angels who are assigned for all kinds of things, and there are a large number of them. Some of them guard the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُسَبِّحُونَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ, like, and they ask Allah forgiveness. These are angels. Now, on the other side, there are the creation of Allah who are just like humans in everything except that we don't see them. And they can live among us. And sometimes they live in us. Now, don't get scared. Not in everybody. Right. And these are the jinn. Number one, Allah says the jinn is like us. In the sense that they can do good and they can do bad. And there are good of them and there are bad of them. There are Muslims and there are non-Muslims. There are believers and disbelievers. Actually, the Quran speaks in different places. In Surah Al-Baqarah, in Surah Al-Jinn itself, in Surah Al-Rahman. So many places in the Quran. But Surah Al-Jinn actually specifically speaks about them. Right? And it starts by, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدُ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. Just like humans. They heard the Quran, they believed in it, they became Muslims. Now, and then they describe a lot of things. The surah, I can read it all, but let me tell you the points that is come to this thing. Among it, they say, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ. Among us, there are even pious people. وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And there are other than that. كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ. Just like Muslims and non-Muslims and so on. خِدَدَ. And then he told us about what they do and the powers they have. He says, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدْ. Like, we see the heavens, we have positions, we steal the news from the heavens, we try to grapple with things, we try to confuse people. Now, the most actual description of what actually they do, right, is also mentioned in other parts of the Quran. For instance, there is a chapter called Saba, right? In it, Allah tells us some part of the power they have. You know, one of the prophets of Allah had the power to communicate with all of this creation. This is how we came to know. And that's who? Sulaiman. Sulaiman, Allah gave him so much power. To the point, you know, the ants can talk. You know the story? When they were going around with the army, قالت نملة, it started hushing their babies, لا يحتمنكم سليمان. Then he heard, imagine somebody walking in an army. And there's a lot of noise and dust. But still when an ant says something, Allah gave him the power to hear it. Right? Now, Sulaiman used to command them and control the jinn. And they used to work for him. For instance, when Queen of Sheba, you remember the, what's the bird? What's it called? The hoopoe bird? Al-Hutud? Mm-hmm. Now, when it, it's a long story, these things, you need to detail them so that people understand them. Anyway, it came and it was late and Sulaiman said, I'm going to punish you until you tell me what, where you were and so on. He said, I passed by these people and they have a woman and the woman was ruling them and they were doing this and so on. And they had a magnificent palace, they have thrones of this and all of this. Then Sulaiman said, okay, I'll test you. I'm going to know exactly what you are talking about. So all what he did in a meeting, and he used to sit with the jinn around him. So he said, who of you is going to bring me her throne? Because I want to see it. And I want her to come here. So one of the jinnis, a little one, an amateur, is not a professional one, he said to him, I will bring you her throne. By the way, Sulaiman was in Palestine, and we are talking Yemen. You know the distance now? It takes how long? Is anyone travel around that? It takes, I think, about 4 hours between Yemen and Palestine. Flying. Jumbo jets. Right? So this amateur little kid, actually Ifrit. Ifrit means somebody's little, yani. So, قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. This is exactly what the Quran says. قَالَ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِ. You know, before this meeting is over, before this session is over, I'll bring the throne for you. Who is this? The Ifrit. The other one who's really good, he said, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ. Like, this one is really professional. قَالَ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. Before you do this, you find it. Can you imagine that speed before that? It's called the speed of light, right? Just blink, blink. Now, this is the power with which they travel. There are also details in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what you said. It is not exorcism as people try to portray it here. But other than that also, there are other things that affect us humans. Do you know what? Evil eye. Some people have such an evil eye. The Prophet says, if you look at a camel, it will collapse. You see a building, you look at it, demolished. What kind of a power they have? Well, Allah says. There is also, what does that, what does she say? Maybe, I'm serious, quite possible. Who knows? Mystery. Still a mystery. Now, actually they tried to do it against the Prophet. Do you know that? Do you know that the Kuffar, when they failed to get the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and to kill him, they went around and asked everyone who has a real sharp eye that can cling. And they brought him. And actually Allah said it. You know Surah Allahumma salli alayhi salam, it's an Nazi'at, the last verse of it, it says what? Is it al-qalam? Noon al-qalam. I think it is. Naam. وَإِيَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ. Then finally they gave us it. وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. When they failed to do this, they said, come, this is a crazy man. But this is also what Allah says about it. طيب. Are you following me so far? طيب. Among the things the Prophet said, he said this, by the shaytan is a jinn. But it's the evil jinn, the master of jinn on the other side. He says this shaitan can first take forms. He can penetrate, especially black dogs. That's why the Prophet says when you see a black dog, stay away from it. Sometimes it's snakes. And there is an incident when a woman came home and found a snake in her bed. And the Prophet told her this snake was not just a snake. Sometimes it penetrates children. I think this is what Muhammad Sharif told you, because I did something like that. I'm telling this story, you won't believe it. I got scared myself, I was sweating. My wife said, don't bring these people anymore here. These people came to my house. I didn't know much about it, then I started studying it. And started asking what to do about it. And I started doing things that, if I tell you, you'll be scared, I don't want to scare you. So these people came. A mother carrying a child who's 2 years old. But in nice little kid. You know, you look at the child, tickle him, he smiles, beautiful things. And they said this child comes with very strange things. Right? For 3 days he didn't sleep. And the mother said this child is going to collapse. And she said, this child really does something, I don't know. She says, sometimes he's a bucket, sort of saliva, and I get very scared. So I took this child in my hand, exactly like this. Start reading on him. And this child started coiling me. I felt somebody is doing this to me. And this boy goes just like this. And I'm telling them, everybody's looking at me. And I got really scared, starts swinging. And I turned the light on, the boy is working. Now, it can happen. It does, very rare cases. Another brother. It took me 3.5 hours. I remember I wanted to do my jacket like this and it got torn. And even in the middle of something, we have 3 brothers. We have a brother, his name is Abu Basim, huge, well-built brother. And when this brother tells me, I'm going to kill you, and I see his tongue coming out, very scary. So I called this Abu Basim. I said, Abu Basim, come in here, help me. I had my secretary, his name is Aziz, he's running, he said he wants to call the police. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, take it easy, Abu Basim, come here. And then the boy put his foot like this. Plus, just like this. He put his leg like this. We put a chair. Abu Basim sat on it. We put a desk on it. It's just like this. Many things happen like this. So that's what we are sure that in this person was really a jinn. A sister. I'm going to conclude this. Don't get a sister. She came to me. She said her mother has a problem. She didn't sleep for days. And we had a brother in London, Ontario. Sheikh Jamal called me. I said, well, she took a train or a car. They came to me, and the brother has a tray of baklava for me. Nice baklava. I did the fire. A woman. This is her mother. Very kind, very shy. She was sitting like this. Said, "Hajj, assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. Ishtashauri, mishaarifiq." For men, we hold their hands. For women, I try to do what the Prophet does, is to bring a tray of water. You know, during the bay'ah, the Prophet, women used to put their hands in the water. So I asked the sister to put her hand in the water. And I was reading in her, start reading. Came as-safati, or as-safati. It's called the rajra. So the safati safa. Zajrati zajra. I heard, taliyati zikra. Inna ilahakum lawahad. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما ورب المشارق إنا زينا السماء الدنيا بزينة الكواكب. Then there is a verse says, وحفظا من كل شيطان. And this woman does this. Everything jumped and her daughter started crying and everything was messed up and the water was flashing always. The good thing about it, at the end when they cool down and things are out, that's a woman, this woman becomes so shy. She said, I'm sorry, when did I come here? What am I doing here? She said to her daughter, أنت قلت لي حنمشي للشيخ عبد الله. قلت لها ما ده الشيخ عبد الله؟ يا خبر الشيخ عبد الله يا فضيحتي. Take it easy. I didn't put it on tape though. Correct? What do you want to ask now? It does happen. But it's not in every person. It does happen for people who actually open themselves up. And this has a relationship with chastity. How? The Prophet ﷺ says, if you want to guard yourself from this, remember the following things. One, all the time be in wudu. Learn it. You know, since I was a little kid, alhamdulillah, up until today, I don't walk without wudu. All the time when I go to washrooms, this time in the airport, people keep looking at me. And I say, I'm making wudu, I'm a Muslim. Want to see it? Come on, I'll tell you about it. Because you maintain your wudu all the time. The Prophet says this. For women and girls, even if you are not praying, keep wudu. The Prophet says wudu will shield you. Even if you are not praying, yani all the time make wudu. Keep wudu all the time. It protects you. Keep the dua. All the time, read the simple surahs. Why Allah taught us, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ From what? من الجنة والناس. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ يُرِيدُ And then the best, and if you don't memorize it from this session, the only thing you have to remember, go and memorize Ayat al-Kursi. Because the Prophet says, remember the incident, some of you know the story, when the Prophet put one of the companions to look after the sadaqah, like the zakat money, and then this man came to him and he was crying, he gave him a share, like normally they give a certain portion, and then I said, no, I have too many children, please give me some more, so he gave some more, and turned around, he stole something, so he held his hand. He said, I give you more. You steal, I'm going to report to the Prophet. He said to him, please, have this little girl, please let me go. He left. Then nothing happened. When he came to see the Prophet said to him, well, the person you held, what did he say to him? You know it? He said, yeah, I know who he is. I read it. He said, and he's going to come back again. He's coming back again. He said, yes. How did you know he's coming back again? The next day, the same man came. This same thing repeated itself. He started to speak. This time he said to him, the Prophet knew. He said, well, please, I beg you. He left him. The Prophet went, first question, said to him, oh, ma fa'ala asiruka al-bariha. Like the person came to me again. What did he do? He said, you knew again. He said, and he's going to come to you again. He said, what? The third day, this time, the man said to him, no, I'm going to report it to the Prophet. He said to him, okay, I'll make a deal with you. I'll teach you one thing. If I am wrong in it, then you expose me. He said to him, every night when you go, make sure you have wudu, you read Surah Al-Baqarah in your hand, blow in it, wipe your face, wipe your body, and sleep. And nothing will harm you. When he came to the Prophet said to him, yes. He came, he said this. What did you? He said to him, he said yes. He spoke the truth in this one, although he plays lots of games. And that was actually, he said to him, this was the jinn. He came to you, and the best thing you can guard yourself from jinn is to read Ayat al-Kursi before you sleep, wipe yourself with it, and go for that. Case closed. Now, Yeah. But when you open up yourself, he can. This is why even the Prophet, you know, people did something to the Prophet. This is why we read Qul A'udhu Rabbi al-Falaq. Like women took some hair from his head, they went and buried it in a well. The Prophet, they tried to confuse him. You open yourself up by one being in places where you are not supposed to be. Not to be protected, like the Prophet says, for instance, if you go to the washroom, before you walk into the washroom, you say, "A'udhu billahi min khabis wal khabais, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min kidhi," like, yeah, you ask Allah protection, because these are the places where the jinn can be. Then when you come out, you say, "Ghufranak," yani, oh Allah, forgive me. These things that take the shaitan out of you. Also, the Prophet says, give charity. Yani, every time you give charity, because when you give charity, you crush the shaitan, you take it from him. And give it, and he won't stop you. The Prophet also says, make a lot of zikr all the time. Yeah, hasbi Allah. By the way, you can see the dua that there are very simple dua that you have to memorize them. If you can write them, say them. One is to say, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallah, this is from Surah Al-Baqarah. You say, Masha Allah la quwwata illa billah. This is from Surah Al-Kahf. You say, أُفَوَّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. This is from Surah Ghafir. And you say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And this is from Surah Al-Anbiya. These things protect you against fear, against things like this, evil spirits. It protects you and so on. Do that, inshallah. The simplest versions is to read Al-Fatiha, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and Surah Ayat al-Kursi. Okay? Session is over. طيب جزاكم الله خيرا. May Allah bless you all. May Allah يعني make it easier on you. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. في أخوة ينتظرون. I hope you are going to be late from here. طيب إن شاء الله. بارك الله فيك. الله أكبر. أنت اليوم. Okay. السلام عليكم.